Let's pray. Oh Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. It's a light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this morning. Amen. Please be seated. One of my best friends is a man called Christopher. And Christopher wasn't the name that his mum and dad gave him. Christopher was the name he took when he became a Christian about 20 years ago in Iran. And it was such a big change in his life that he took a new name. And Christopher is a lovely man. He's got brown skin, he's got big soft eyes, and like other Iranians, particularly if you're a man and you're his friend, he will hug you. And he will say, you are my Baradaram. Baradaram is the Iranian for my brother. And Christopher taught me how to say hello like this. Salam. You'll say it back to me. Salam. And he taught me to say, how are you, like this. Tokubi. Which, if you're being a bit more formal, it's Shamahubi. Is that right? Have I got that right? Good. I've got my Persian speaker over here telling me if I'm wrong, right? And to say goodbye, you say, Chora Hafez. You can say that one. Is it? So the Chora means the word God, and you've got to get down there. Chora Hafez. Have I got it right? Means goodbye. It sort of also means God bless. It's sort of like, God bless you, I'm going, goodbye. And that's what he taught me. And Christopher was a pastor, and where I was in the cathedral in Tasmania, we would preach together sometimes. And it wasn't like a normal sort of where you have different languages where I'd say one sentence and he'd say another. We'd write the sermons together and we'd preach it sort of paragraph at a time. Him and then me and then him. And I'd get up and I'd make the point and paragraph in about 30 seconds. And then he'd get up and he'd make the same point in about 5 minutes. And that's because he then turned to me and he said, I'm sorry, my brother. He said, I had to make a story so that they understand. This is my brother Christopher. And he would get very, very excited about the Bible. And particularly today, he would look at Acts chapter 2, which is what we've looked at today, and Hannah read it for us. And he'd get very, very excited. He'd go, Will, he said, look, we're here. And I'm going, yes, Christopher, we're there. And I was like, which bit? And he turned to the bit which when we hear this reading, when we see this bit, we go, I'm glad I'm not the person doing the reading today. Because they're the bits in verse 9. Anyone find verse 9? Now parents, if you've got sort of kids who are sort of reading age, you might want to help them find verse 9. Because here we have the words that everybody doesn't want to say, and now you're going to say them. Right, so give me, what are some of the hard words in verse 9? Call it out. Elamites. Who else can we see there? So Parthians. Parthians. Can you say Parthians? Parthians. Thing. Who else can we see there? People from Pamphylia. So if you're expecting a child and want to name a Pamphylia, that's a good name for a child. Right, anyone else? Where else have we seen residents of? Call them out. I heard of Mesopotamia. Who else? Anyone else there? Phrygia. Now that's the best one, isn't it? How do you say that? If I sort of put my New Testament, I think it might be Phrygia, but I could be wrong. Right. Anyway, so all these really complicated words, and this is where Christopher would go, this is where we are, here. And I go, where? Because, and he pointed to the word Elamites. Because, sort of on the edges of Iran, in the place where we now sort of know where the Kurdish people live, there's a town called Elam, or Elam. And that's where, if you're Iranian and Persian, you sort of understand that you're descended from that sort of all group of that sort of people. And so my brother Christopher would look here and go, we're here. Here in this story, this is where the Iranians are. This is where the Persian people are. We were there. And he gets really excited. He says, look, here is we are. God's promises are for us. And he's right to get excited, isn't he? Because something special is going on at this point. We can see here that God is bringing a significant moment where he does stuff with his people. And we know what the story is. We've been being prepared for it as the Gospels and the people in Acts have told us what's going to happen. Jesus has gone to heaven and he says, wait. Wait in Jerusalem for my power to come upon you. And we see the story. Suddenly there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. And the whole house was filled with this sound. And then they saw what looked like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of the apostles. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And it so enabled them that all these people from these weird sounding places with these weird names, with weird languages, could hear them declaring the wonders of God. The wonders of God being heard by people from different languages and strange places. What's going on here? I did this at the 8:00 and they were quite excited about it. Can you think of a time when you or someone you know who's very young got so excited that they couldn't tell you about it? You know what I'm talking about? Something really exciting has happened. And the communication goes something like this. Yeah? You sort of know what that means? Right. Sometimes I think when we talk about the wonders of God, we go... And we're not quite sure what to say. It's often the case when we get to the deep things. Paul, St. Paul in Romans, talks about how the groans of God are like groans within us when we have the deep things. Sometimes deep sad things. Or deep things when we look about the world. I know, for instance, that people are looking at London and Manchester and they're groaning because we don't know what to do with it. But Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit is within us, groaning along with us as we are caught up with the heart of God. That's groaning. Here I think we see the excitement of God as the communication about how wondrous God is comes out, not with words that are articulated, but in words that are so filled with the Holy Spirit that people from every single place can hear as if with their own language about the wonders of God. Oh, I've got out of breath doing that. That's what it's like here. The Holy Spirit is enabling a communication, enabling a declaration, not from here, but from deep within, as the wonders of God are declared. And there's promise in that. A long time ago, there's a story in the very beginning of the Bible which talks about the Tower of Babel, when you had human empires trying to build their way up to God with pride and arrogance. And God frustrates that pride and arrogance by splitting them up into different language groups. Well, here the promise is that splitting up has been reversed. Here we have a coming together of people of different languages as the Holy Spirit pulls us together and pulls people together, and it's wrapped around not human pride, but by the wonders of God and how he is at work amongst a new people that he is making throughout the world. And so my friend Christopher looks at this and he goes, we're there. We are there. That promise is for us. But the thing is, he can look at there and go, here's the Elamites. But it doesn't mean that even if we can't find our ancestors there, we're not part of it. Because the whole story of Acts is how the Holy Spirit so declares the wonders of God through his people that good news spreads to the very ends of the earth. And I can bear witness that it has reached even Tasmania. And the gospel has gone and a new people is being formed. And so the promises is not just for these people. And it isn't even just for the Elamites. It's for all of God's people. That we would be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we too declare the wonders of God. But here I think this is where Christopher gives me a final lesson, because he's so excited about this. And he approaches this with a childlike faith. Not a childish faith, but a childlike faith. He and his family had to leave Iran very quickly. And they became refugees and eventually came to Australia after going through many other places. But still, even in the midst of that adversity and difficulty, he got excited about what God is doing. And he had a heart that would open itself up to God to be at work. He depended and trusted and said, Lord, work through me. Even if it looks like the chaos and mess that you see here. Because this wasn't some controlled sort of thing. People looked at what the Holy Spirit was doing and they thought, these guys are drunk. But when opened up to them, there's this chaotic creativity where the Holy Spirit is allowed to work within us as we trust Him with our childlike faith. So as we have this Pentecost Day today, as we celebrate the promises of God and that we are part of what He's doing, there's also a call to us to bring ourselves before Him and say, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, work within us, well up within us, so that us together, consumed by your chaotic creativity, may declare the wonders of the Lord even beyond what we think we are able to do. So I want to finish by praying. And it's not a scary prayer, although it may sound it. It's actually a prayer that we do all the time in the Church of England. It's going to include an official confession prayer, and it's going to include an official invocation prayer, which basically means we come to the Lord and we say, we need you, we're sorry for the things where we let you down, and Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be your people more. And as we pray this prayer, I wonder if you want to, you can shift your posture, so that if you want, you can be more expressed with your body, your openness to God to be at work. And you may want to hold your hands like this, or you may want to concentrate with them like this. You may want to do whatever you like, to just open yourselves up as we pray this prayer. Then after this, we're going to sing a song, and that song is going to be a prayer too. And you may want to stand, you may want to stay seated, but all this is us coming childlike to the Lord, saying, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be yours. Let's pray. O Lord, we are your people. Through your Spirit, you have drawn us to yourself and saved us. And we acknowledge before you that we did not deserve this. Even now, we quench your Spirit as we sin and harden our hearts. And so we confess before you the many ways in which we have ignored your wondrous love. Yet your Spirit speaks grace to us and we receive your forgiveness. And you have brought us together as your people, that we may declare your wonders. So fill us anew this day, Lord. May your Spirit be upon us and within us. Change our hearts. Enliven our conscience. Give us boldness and courage, that we might have changed lives that depend upon you, are consumed with your chaotic creativity, and bear witness to your life. Lord, Holy Spirit, be ever present in our lives. Inspire us, fill us, overwhelm us and wake us up. Heal us, restore us and help our lives to speak of you in spirit and in truth. Amen.